Better Leaders, Better Schools, episode number 26.
Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where school leaders go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top influencers in education. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Daniel Bauer.
But I think the one thing I could tell myself, and it kind of goes along with my one-word post for 2016, is to just breathe. And that's one of the things I struggle with the most. It's really easy to get sucked into everything. It's everything that's going on, whether it's our life, whether it's school, no matter what it may be. We forget to breathe. We forget to kind of take that step back and pause.
Hey, this is Daniel Bauer from Better Leaders, Better Schools. I help school leaders create a winning culture, focus on the essential, and lead with courage and integrity. The blog and podcast was made specifically for you to help you meet your leadership potential. Get more content and resources at betterleadersbetterschools.com. Better Leaders, are you looking to upgrade your leadership potential? I have another free gift for you. This one is a PDF which I call 15 questions guaranteed to unlock your leadership potential. Unlock your leadership potential now for free by texting UNLOCK NOW. That's all one word, no spaces, to 33444. Text UNLOCK NOW to 33444 for your free gift. 15 questions guaranteed to unlock your leadership potential. Better Leaders, I need your help. I invest time, creativity, and money to bring you the blog and podcast whose sole purpose is to develop your leadership capacity. I'm asking you to take a more active role in the show. Will you become a sponsor and help me cover the cost of creating, producing, and hosting the blog and podcast? In the show notes, there is a link where it asks you to become a patron of the show. I'm asking you to donate anywhere between $1 to $5 a month to help offset the cost of creating, producing, and publishing Better Leaders, Better Schools. At $10 a month, I'll send you one of my favorite leadership books every 60 days. If you have gotten any type of value from this show and would like to invest in Better Leaders, Better Schools, then please click the Patreon link. If you can't financially support the show at this time, then please consider leaving a rating and review, which helps the podcast reach more listeners. Today's podcast is brought to you by the book Reclaiming the Classroom by Trenton Goebel. This text traces society's journey from trust to fear around education in general, teachers in particular, and offers a road back to professionalism, autonomy, and respect. Get the book today at reclaimingtheclassroom.com. And now it's time for some five-star reviews. M1KESW1FE writes, excellent. Love the content and the show altogether. The best podcast in a while. Thank you, M1KESW1FE, for the rating and review. Hey there, Better Leaders. So excited to bring you this episode with Sean Thom. It was neat connecting with this guy. You know, I don't know him, but it felt like I was talking to a friend for many years. You're going to love this episode for a number of reasons. Here's four of why I enjoyed this episode. Sean's going to break down how challenges in school helped him become a better leader, how to keep fragile students on track for greatness, the power of a second chance, and how to dig deeper and find the why behind every struggle to really get that story of what's motivating a student that particularly, or even a staff member that might be challenging you. Sean Thom is currently in his second year serving as principal of Brookfield Elementary School in Haddon Heights, New Jersey. His school is a private out-of-district placement for students with behavioral and emotional issues. The aim of the school is to provide a rigorous academic and therapeutic education for their students to ensure that they will be equipped with tools to be successful in life. Prior to this, Sean taught middle school science for 6 years throughout New Jersey. In addition to being an educator, Sean is also had a patent approved for a student-centered teacher feedback system. This approach takes the focus solely off student output and examines student input. The process allows students to provide instant feedback on any one of the several key aspects of a lesson. He is currently speaking with several companies about partnerships to get this system in the hands of students and educators as soon as possible. When he's not working on school or business-related tasks, Sean loves to spend his time with his wife, their two-year-old son, and their two dogs. He enjoys running, mountain biking, training for, and running Spartan races, and doing whatever he can to stay active and involved. Well, ladies and gents, I am so honored to introduce to you Sean Thom.
Hey, Daniel, nice to be with you guys. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate we connected through the lead up chat and started tweeting back and forth, direct messaging, and you were very gracious, Sean. I had booked a lot of people back to back, and I forget why we had to cancel or redo this. I think it had to do with dinner plans. but you know, you helped save my marriage, so I appreciate that, buddy.
the least I can do. Happy, awesome. Happy wife, happy life.
That's right. Hey, Sean, so what inspired you to pursue a career in education?
In short, probably the educators who never gave up on me when I was in school. Growing up as a kid, I was always in trouble. I had good grades, but I was kind of bored in my classes, not really too challenged. You combine that with my ADHD as a kid, and school was definitely a struggle for me. I didn't exactly have the best home life. I always kind of heard things from my mom that I was going to end up in jail, wasn't really going to make anything of myself. That just kind of comes along with always being in trouble, no matter what you're doing in school. So growing up, my parents divorced in early high school for me. Things kind of turned pretty sour. I ended up moving out of my mom's house and moved in with some of my friends and their family. That was a tough, tough time for me. All my motivation just kind of, you know, went out the window a little bit. But a lot of the teachers that I had in some of my advanced and AP classes, they kind of kept me focused. They kept me on track. They kept pushing me nonstop. They kept me focused on college. I mean, I never thought it was going to be possible, but they kept me focused on college. I mean, I ended up graduating in the top 10% of my high school class because of my teachers and because of the way that they pushed me. I ended up being the first person in my family to ever graduate college with a bachelor's degree. And now I have my master's and I'm a principal, you know, so I think I've done pretty decently for myself so far. But, you know, if it wasn't for the educators who impacted me, I wouldn't be where I am today. So for me, it's just kind of giving back and kind of being a part of the educational process for some kids who may need it later on down the road.
Yeah, that's an incredible story and quite inspiring. It sounds like you had a pretty challenging upbringing. And you said that, you know, it's what the teachers, the administrators did to keep you on track. Can you unpack that a little bit for the listeners? Because I know it's so important, those relationships you build with kids and children, students could be very fragile in the wrong message, right? And it might be unintentional too, but that could drastically turn somebody's whole path to a side that we don't want them to go down. But what was it that your teachers did that really inspired you? I mean, gosh, you're the first guy in your family to go off, get a degree, and you have a master's, and you're a principal. And we're going to get to your crazy, like, awesome ideas, but what was it that they did to keep you reined in, I guess?
I mean, it's more than anything else. It's just they never quit. And no matter what I did in high school, and believe me, I did some really silly, stupid things. I'm not going to get into too much now because I don't want to incriminate myself too much. But no matter what I did, they were just always there. I mean, I remember my AP physics teacher in high school. There was a point in my life where I had an exam, and I went in there that day, and I had a really rough night the night before, and I said, "Look, Mr. Frizzetti, I'm just not ready for this. I can take it now. I'm going to fail it. Like, I'm not ready." And his response to me, he just kind of looked me in the eye and said, "Sean, when you're ready to take it, you can take it. If you're not going to take it, I'm not going to count it against you." And I had a lot of teachers who kind of recognized me and saw what I could be capable of and continued to push me. And just gave me that motivation when I needed to. I mean, too many teachers for me to possibly list, but just so many great mentors that really kind of helped and guide me and put me on that right track.
That's incredible. And I know too, sometimes with educators, you might get irritated or annoyed slightly with a kid that is giving you trouble, right? And you could easily give up, but that's the exact thing that, you know, it was the antithesis of what your teachers did. They dug in, right? They engaged even more. And I just can't believe how compassionate that AP physics teacher was. It's so easy to use your power, right? Your authority and be like, dude, you should have prepared, right? I prepared when I was your age. Didn't your parents teach you better? Like, we took all this time in class, and then they just negatively leak all over you. That doesn't inspire someone that needs a second chance. He said, "Sean, take it when you're ready." What a response. That's amazing. Unbelievable.
And those are the kind of things that I try to instill when I was a teacher and as well as an administrator now, just trying to keep things like that in mind and try recognizing that for every behavior, there's a cause behind that. There's a reason behind that. And really trying to figure out what that reason is and how you can work and help with the, and work with those students and help them move forward and move past that reason.
Wow. So that just that ripple effect, right? Of being compassionate exactly. in that moment, and look at how many people you're touching now. Tell us a little bit then, how do you get to the reason, right? Everybody has a story. We only see the tip of the iceberg. So Sean, as an educator, as a principal, how do you teach your faculty to look beyond just the surface and to dig in?
Well, I actually wrote a blog post probably about a month or so ago and just titled Stop Asking Why and Dig Deeper. And one of the things that I really learned in my school with the students that I work with, it's you can't ask anybody why. You really got to kind of figure out exactly what's going on. You need to ask what happened. You need to get to the details of that. And you need to really, and you just need to start asking how. How did that make somebody feel? How are they going to move forward? How are they going to kind of progress from there? And then you got to ask what again? What can they do differently next time? And really start to figure out exactly what's going on. You look around everywhere in education and just anywhere in life, people ask why. People don't know the answer why. And if they do know the answer why, they don't want to tell you. They're not comfortable with telling you that. So it's your job as a leader to kind of dig deeper and to figure out what that why is. And you can find out what that why is without people even realizing that they're telling you that why. It's really all in how you frame it and how you talk to people, and whether it's your teachers, whether it's anybody on your staff, whether it's your students. It's not hard, but it's a discipline that you're really going to have to work on.
That's nice. I'm looking at your website right now. It's very professional. So I like that. And
I try.
We're going to link up Stop Asking Why and Dig Deeper, that post specifically in the show notes. And if listeners want to take a look and, you know, engage in more of your stuff, like your Facebook page. Wow, you got all sorts of stuff. Tweets. Yeah, people are going to check you out, Sean.
Perfect. Appreciate that.
Very cool. Hey, let me ask you this. How would you describe then your leadership style and how did you develop it?
Well, as a leader, I kind of look at two different areas, and I kind of consider myself to be a relational and a transparent leader. I recognize that I can't be effective without the relationships that I'm building in my school. And not just the relationships that you have on school-related matters, but also the non-school-related matters. I think you really got to take that time to get to know your staff and your students. How are their weekends? What's going on with their family? What are things that really motivate them and drive them to do what they're doing on a regular basis? I mean, so often we get kind of focused on our school and what's going on in the classrooms and not really moving past that. So you really got to build those real relationships. And that's not possible if you're not going to take that time to really work on that.
So besides time, do you have any tips and tricks for our listeners in terms of developing authentic relationships?
Just be open. I mean, just be open to anything and everything that may pop up throughout your course of your day. If somebody wants to talk with you, recognize that they want to talk to you. And the easiest thing to that, and probably the most difficult at the same time, is just not talking and really sitting back and listening. And that's something that I've always struggled with, is not talking too much. But now I'm really working on just stopping and listening. And when you just listen, you'd be surprised and shocked at how much people are willing to share and how deep they're willing to kind of dive into things to talk with you about.
It's so funny. It's one of the things I was discussing with the group of guys I'm connected to, and just the importance of, like you said, listening, not talking, not interrupting, because it's like, why? What's the motivation for that? And I would go even a little bit deeper too. Listen, fully engage, be present, and turn off what your next response is going to be in your head.
Yes.
Because you got lined up and you're just thinking, hey, when Sean finally stops talking, I'm going to ask him this question. You know what I'm saying? So that's so important, guys. Turn off your mind, shut your mouth, and just listen and engage with people.
And it's definitely not an easy thing to do. It's really not. But it takes a lot of work.
Yeah, for sure. I'm growing in that area as well.
But so, I mean, I also find that you need to really be transparent. So my school, I taught middle school science for 6 years in public schools throughout New Jersey. And my school now is a special education school. We're a private out-of-district placement. So I work with kids who have some behavioral and emotional issues. So when I came in this environment, I mean, I had a lot of tough kids in my classroom as a teacher, but I was never in an environment like this. So the first thing I had to recognize when I went in there and what I had to acknowledge to my staff was that I didn't really have all the answers. This wasn't exactly my expertise level. I knew how to run a school. I had some ideas on how to do that, but this realm was all new to me. It was all foreign. I had to be transparent. I had to be honest. I had to be open with staff. I had to really sit down and talk with them. I actually sat down and had face-to-face conversations with all my staff members when I first started, and also with students to kind of figure out what's working, what's not working, really pick their brains and just be open to whatever may come my way and recognize that, hey, look, this is a new environment for me. This is a new situation. I'm only going to grow by listening to people around me, and I'm only going to go as far as the people around me are going to take me.
That's so good. How long have you been at the school you're currently at?
I'm in my second year right now.
Okay. And I love the way you stepped in there too. I mean, of course, you had some ideas of what you wanted to do, but just by really interviewing everybody, having those conversations, you let them tell you what's challenging, what's broken, and they helped probably develop your vision, I bet, through those conversations.
Without a doubt, an environment like that, I know I don't know all the answers. I think I have a lot more answers now being in year two. But when I first started, it was kind of a deer in the headlights look. But now I'm much more seasoned, and you know, we're running a well-oiled machine right now.
Nice. I love that. Hey, Sean, we don't want to talk about high school mistakes and incriminate you, but in terms of your leadership, you know, mistakes are powerful teaching moments. What would you consider your worst leadership mistake, and what did you learn from it?
That is a fantastic question. I would probably have to say that my worst leadership mistake has probably come in the past 2 years as a principal. In my environment that I work in, it's very easy to kind of get tunnel vision and really focus on the events and issues that are happening in my school. I was growing as a leader in my surroundings, but I don't think I was really growing as kind of a complete leader. I felt really isolated in what was going on in my school when I wasn't opening myself up to other opportunities. Fast forward to a couple months back, I was just randomly, for whatever reason, on Twitter, on my phone. It was early Saturday morning. I came across Sat Chat, and then I came across Lead Up Chat, and I participated in both of those that morning, and that was it. I was hooked. You know, since then, I've gotten involved with a lot with DivergeEd, and I've been involved in different chats here and there. But the thing that was really awesome for me was that I'm connecting with so many different educators that are sharing similar beliefs and views. And, you know, I wasn't seeing other administrators, other people like that outside of my building. So, you know, there was that level of isolation. Mm. But, you know, and here's where I thank people like you, Daniel, because like I always thought that I was kind of leading the right way, that I had an idea as to what leadership was and my leadership style. But listening to some of your leadership tips, listening to your podcast, hearing some of your guests, participating in things like Lead Up Chat, it's been a huge affirmation for me. It's really kind of helped me to continue my growth and my development as a leader and educator, which is in turn helping me to better serve my staff and my students in my school.
Yeah, wow. That's so affirming. I really appreciate the encouragement that you just shared. And that's a cool thing about technology. And to tell you the truth, Sean, like that's why this podcast was created. I was banging my head against the wall, and I want to connect with folks in Chicago, huge city. You think we could get together and talk leadership semi-consistently, and it was like crickets. So it was cool connecting with Twitter, but it's very fast. It's limited to 140 characters. And I am sort of a longer-winded, long-form guy. I want to go dig deep. Like if this episode recorded, you know, it was 3 hours long, but I thought it was valuable, I'd go there. You know what I'm saying? And that's why this thing was born. And I just really appreciate what you said. And that's the power of technology. So I'm glad for the listeners. So appreciative.
It's been a fantastic tool for me, and it's been something that's been able to kind of expand my level of thinking. And I hope that what I share has been able to expand the level of thinking of other people I interact with as well.
It already has. So I want to encourage you there.
Hey, thank you.
Sean, knowing what you know now, what would you tell yourself as a novice principal?
Well, I would say, seeing as how I'm a second year principal, I guess I'm probably still a novice principal. But I think the one thing I can tell myself, and it kind of goes along with my one word post for 2016, okay, is to just breathe. and that's one of the things I struggle with the most. It's really easy to get sucked into everything. It's everything that's going on, whether it's our life, whether it's school, no matter what it may be. We forget to breathe. We forget to kind of take that step back and pause. I'm a I'm a very high motor kind of person. I go from one thing to the next. I mean, that's just the way I'm wired. I think I contribute a lot of that to my ADHD, but that's just me. I'm nonstop. So a lot of times I just need to take that. I need to stop. I need to take that pause and breathe. Just reflect. I mean, for my sanity and the sanity of the people around me. when I get too ramped up, everybody knows it. So, you know, for me, that's kind of what I would tell myself more than anything is just, hey, slow down, breathe, relax a little bit. You're good. You got this.
What a great word for 2016. And I'm sure there's some administrators, school leaders resonating with what you just said, Sean. So can you make it specific for us? How do you actually hit the pause button? Is it an alarm that goes off your phone like every 25 minutes? I mean, what is it that you do that reminds yourself that you need to breathe?
I mean, a lot of that for me has just kind of been really pushing that into my own brain. And the cool thing that I really started doing with my staff is I started really sharing some of my blog posts. And so I shared this blog post with my staff about my one word post. And so now my staff is interacting with me and they're telling me what their one word for 2016 would be, which is pretty cool in its own right. But I have staff now who will, if they see me getting a little bit too ramped up, they'll say, "Hey, Sean, breathe." and as a principal, you know, some people might not be okay with that, but I'm definitely okay with that.
Right.
I mean, I want my staff to be on that level where they can kind of talk to me and let me know. So, I mean, I think a lot of it's just really working on myself and really finding ways to better myself. But it all always helps when you have a staff like that who's just so amazing and who just do everything they can to kind of go out of the way to not only help the kids, but also to help you. And they've been tremendous with me. And so they help me out a lot as well.
And kind of when I'm listening to you speak, what I was thinking of is that when you're that transparent leader, when you're open, when you publicly declare like this is your word or your goal, right, for your personal, professional, your spiritual life, people start to hold you accountable. And Sean, the one thing I didn't anticipate having after launching Better Leaders, Better Schools is having my wife listen to most of those episodes. And then, you know, I do something boneheaded at home, like daily. It should be like, that's not what I heard on Better Leaders, Better Schools. I was like, oh man, it's tough. It's tough being me.
It's a whole new level of accountability.
Absolutely. Oh man. All right. I got to gather myself here. So, there's a lot of trendy stuff in schools, STEM, computer science, to name a few. However, what's one class that you would love to add to our schools and you don't think that they actually exist nationally right now?
This has been one of probably my biggest lifesaver period in my entire life, and that's meditation.
Huh, all right.
I want to give a big shout out. I was listening to one of Tim Ferriss's podcasts a while back, and he had Tara Brach on there, and she's the way she spoke and just really kind of encouraged me to really look into meditation and really just kind of focus and really just give that a chance. You know, I always thought that with my ADHD, I would never be able to meditate. I'd never be able to sit still. I'd never be able to kind of clear my mind and go through that. But that listening to that podcast, it gave me that motivation to just give it a shot. So I listened to some of her guided meditations.
Okay.
And now it's something that I do every single day without fail. You know, it helps me function. It helps center me. It puts me at a point where I can actually breathe like my advice to myself would be. I noticed that I struggle without it. There are days when if I don't meditate, my wife will look at me and she'll like, "Sean, did you meditate today?" And I was like, "Nope, you got me." But she'll know. She'll notice a difference. And it's to the point where my staff members, I've challenged my staff members to meditate as well.
Yeah.
And to give it a challenge. And my staff members actually will recognize if I haven't meditated in a morning.
How about that?
It's a pretty cool thing. But I really feel like we need to teach our students how to cope with things, how to be more reflective. And I think meditation really helps out significantly with that. It kind of gives you that space, that time that's just to you, where you can get into your own head and just let everything else go and just see what comes to you.
Mm. So, I listen to Tim Ferriss' podcast quite a bit. What was the guest name again?
Her name was Tara Brach, last name Brach.
All right. I'll definitely look that up and link it up in the show notes so if people want to learn a little bit more about meditation. And then you said you did one of her guided meditations.
Yes.
So in your practice now, like, is it something that you do on your own? I've talked about on the podcast Headspace and Calm.
Yes.
So are you using those or what do you do?
I started out just using her guided meditations until I got to a point where I felt like I could really kind of move forward on my own. So what I've been doing now is I'm a big Spotify fan. So there's Spotify has multiple meditation playlists that I use.
Wow.
So I'll sit down every morning anywhere from 15 to 20 minutes and just pop that playlist on, the earbuds in my ear, and just kind of go. That's enough for me. I know other people, they may need a guided meditation, but I've really been able to move forward and have some really good sessions just doing it that way.
That's awesome. I really appreciate you sharing that. Today's podcast is brought to you by Reclaiming the Classroom by Trenton Goebel. In this book, Trenton explores the current climate of K-12 education under the influence of high-stakes testing and government intervention, and provides a new system when we need a new system for internal accountability for teachers, administrators, and districts. Listen, the way we've been doing it just doesn't work. We need internal accountability. And to get that roadmap, check out the book, Reclaiming the Classroom by Trenton Goebel. It's easy. It's available on Amazon, or you could go to the website, reclaimingtheclassroom.com, and pick up your copy of the text today. This podcast is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network. The Education Podcast Network, podcasts for educators, podcasts by educators. For more great education podcasts, visit edupodcastnetwork.com. That's edupodcastnetwork.com. And now, back to our show. Sean, what do you think sets you apart from other leaders in education? Do you have a secret sauce? And if so, what is it?
I think my experience as an administrator in my school and my kind of environment really helps me see things differently. You know, I don't just see things from the academic educational perspective that you may see in a typical public school. I kind of see things through the mental health and a therapeutic lens, which really helps me understand not only my students, but my staff so much better. And that's just one of those things that you don't really get that everywhere. I mean, and you'll see a little bit later, I'll talk about a few different things as like how that's really been beneficial to me. But you know, I also really don't see the role as principal as having any specific definition. And I think so often we get caught up in what our roles are. I see my job as a principal to help out wherever staff and students need me. And you know, so that involves sitting in the classroom, giving one-on-one help with a kid, giving counseling sessions to students whenever they may be in crisis and having some issues, helping out with lunch duty, which I do every day and I definitely enjoy, guest teaching a lesson, you know, whatever is really needed. I have no problem at all just really kind of jumping in there and being a part of that.
Appreciate that heart. That's really exemplifies servant leadership. And yes. You sound like you're definitely a blessing to your school.
I try, you know, and when I think about, you mentioned the secret sauce. I mean, for me, that's simple. I gave you some of my experiences in school when I was very easily a kid that could have fallen through the cracks.
Yeah.
But my teachers, they never let me. So like I said, they're the biggest reason I am where I am today. That makes me want to be the same for my students. So that drives me to be the absolute best that I can be. That's my sauce, you know. So I know as a principal, I can't reach kids as in depth as what I could as a teacher, but that's up to me to share those values and my visions with my teachers so they can kind of help and work with my students.
Sure. So I know meditation helps you stay centered, to breathe, to pause. I'm sure it helps you avoid distractions and stay in focus. Is there anything else you do, any other type of boundaries you've set up to help you be successful at work?
Well, I mean, I think in any environment, when you're an administrator or a teacher, no matter what role you're in the school, it's absolutely impossible to avoid distractions. They are an inevitable part of what we do as an educator. It just happens. So, I mean, for me, every day I put together a list of things that I absolutely must get done that day.
Okay.
And that's the only specific focus that I have throughout the course of that day. When I finish those, I now know I'm free to help out wherever I'm needed. So, you know, and the cool thing about my staff is when I tell them, hey guys, I need to work on something. I need to do this. I need to spend like an hour in my office. They know that that's essential because I'm never in my office. So I put together that list and then I just get all that done. And then I'm out to do whatever I need to for the rest of the day.
Nice. So yeah, you prioritize, you knock it out, and then you make yourself available, if I'm hearing you correctly.
Best I can anyway.
And then how do you balance work and life and family?
It's tough. I mean, it's really tough for me. It's really tough for me not to bring work home with me. When you work as closely with the kind of students that I have and you're a part of what they deal with and what they experience, And as a principal of that school, I know everything about every single kid in my building. There are only 42 kids, but I know all their stories and what goes on. So it's really tough for me not to bring that home. Mm. So I'm very thankful. I have a 45-minute drive home, which helps me to kind of decompress a little bit. So when I walk in the door, that's it. It's family time. So I have a 2-year-old at home. I have my wife, we have 2 dogs. We've been recently trying to do family dinners. My son loves to sit at the table. He loves to have dinner with mommy and daddy. So we're trying to do that every single day now. I typically have my phone away from me as best that I can, so it's family time until he goes to bed, and that's kind of the cool thing. Now, once he goes to bed, take the time, I'll normally work out with my wife. Once we finish all that up, it's time to chill out, watch TV, whatever, take care of whatever loose ends need to be taken care of.
Yeah.
And just try to relax and get ready for the next day. But I mean, I really try setting those boundaries up to differentiate between work and home, because my family life is what drives me to do better in my educational career.
Sure. What do you like to do for working out?
I do a lot of different things, really. I like to do Spartan races. So
yeah, I think I read that in your bio. What's a Spartan race?
A Spartan race is kind of the most extreme obstacle course races you can really do.
Okay.
I really enjoy them because they push me to my mental and my physical capacity more so than anything else ever has in my entire life.
Gotcha.
I've moved up to the point where now I'm doing the elite races. So I'm out there racing with the big boys.
Yeah, like LeBron James and Tom Brady and stuff. Wow.
Yeah, the LeBrons and the Bradys of obstacle course racing.
That's pretty cool.
So I mean, I do a lot of different workouts. You know, I focus a lot on strength, a lot on cardio, a lot on just muscle endurance and stamina. And my wife's right there with me doing that too. So it's cool. We kind of motivate each other. We each have our strengths and weaknesses, and we like to trash talk a little bit. So it definitely helps motivate us.
I thought it was something special doing marathons, but here I am talking to an elite Spartan racer, Sean Thom. that's awesome. Very cool.
And marathons are no joke either.
They certainly aren't. Hey, Sean, how do you want to be remembered as a school leader?
I mean, simply put, just someone that always put and kept students at the forefront of every single decision that we made. It's really easy to lose sight of that with everything that's going on, with all the mandates that come down from governments and what we need to do from testing and test scores and this and that. But it's a leader's job to really maintain that level of focus and really keep the students first. I mean, I guess I want to be remembered too as someone who's kind of fair, open, someone who cares about the well-being of people that I interact with, not just my staff or my students. I mean, it's easy. I mean, you work in administration, sometimes people love you and sometimes people hate you. and a lot of time that's happening at the exact same time.
Right.
But when everything's said and done, I hope that I've worked to help change the lives of my students and my staff, whether I've done that directly or indirectly, whatever the case may be. But I hope to have had some sort of impact the way that my teachers have had on me growing up.
So in the pre-chat, just connecting or whatever, we were talking about your feedback system. And I know it's a patent pending, so I don't know how you could talk about it. But what could you share with us? What's this idea all about?
Well, it is patent pending, but my patent's actually been approved. I'm just waiting for everything.
Congrats.
Thank you. Yeah. It's a very, very exciting time for me. But right now I'm just waiting for everything to get finalized. I kind of had an idea a couple years back when I was going through grad school, and I was writing a paper about how we can use technology to enhance student achievement. And, we've all had those points of writing papers and we feel like we're just writing and this is the worst paper in the history of the world. So while I'm doing it, I'm like, I'm going to make this system and we're going to figure out ways to get student feedback. And I wrote it. And my wife, who's my proofreader, my editor, she went over and she's like, that's a really good idea. I'm like, why do you think so? I said, that'll never work. And her response to me, which is something I continually keep in my head today, was 2 words. It was really simple. She said, why not? Hmm. And from that point on, I just started kind of putting the legwork in to really figure out how to make this a possibility. So what this system kind of really looks at is it gives students the opportunity to look at lesson plans in advance of a scheduled class. So they can look at lesson objectives. They can look at the homework. They can look at what the lesson's kind of going to be. And they can look at that in advance of the class. The teacher is going to instruct the class on that particular lesson. And at the end of the class, the students are going to provide feedback to the teacher based on how well they understood that lesson, how well they understood that objective. Then they're going to be able to have information and statistics and data in real time to see how well the students understood that particular lesson or objective or whatever the case may be. So we kind of get away from the exit tickets and from the tests and the quizzes a little bit. And now you're actually having students assess how well they understood it without taking a test.
Yeah. So it seems like an assessment in itself. And if I'm understanding correctly, it's almost like a performance review. Was your teaching clear? If your goal was X and me, the student, did I understand X by the time I left the class? Is that correct?
Exactly. And the thing that I really like most about this is that, I mean, that real time feedback can, like you said, allow teachers to kind of gauge how effective they were in their instruction. And that's something that's not really out there right now. It's something that we're not really utilizing. And I think too often we're also focusing on student output. You know, what are they getting on this test? What are they getting on that test? We're not really focusing on their input and what they think and what they feel about their education. And I don't think we're asking kids enough as to what they think and feel. So I think something like this, students are taking ownership of their learning, they're increasing their own levels of metacognition, and they're becoming much more involved with feedback and evaluation of teachers. It's a win-win in my mind.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm starting to get really interested in project-based learning and where schools are taking the traditional model of school and being flexible with the time. And that's the really interesting thing. In business, if you create a product and said, this is what you're going to get, and I hope you better enjoy it, like, that would fail, right?
Right.
They have focus groups. They have multiple experiments that they run to see what people connect with. But that's the whole thing is you ask, right? The power of asking. But we rarely, right? You're doing it. Great leaders are doing it. Great schools are doing it. But rarely do we ask our most precious resource, the kids, what is it that you're looking to get out of this experience? You know, how can we best serve you? If we did and then implemented on those answers, that would transform public education across our nation.
I agree with you 100%. And that's the goal of something like this. I mean, it's really time we start getting students more involved. And if we want them to take control of their education and really be excited and really understand how they learn and what they're learning, something like this is really the kind of the way to go.
That's super cool. And I wish you the best and much success with it.
I appreciate that.
You got any type of names or anything like that you're playing around with? Or?
Well, I mean, I was running a business. Our business name was Get Set Tools. I've since decided that for me, running a business is not really what I wanted to do. I'm an educator, and I don't want to leave working in schools. I don't want to leave that kind of environment. So now we're really looking to license that out to whether it's online lesson planning companies or companies that really have, you know, social platforms for students to utilize. But I'm really just talking to different companies right now and seeing what kind of potential fits there may be within different organizations. So, I mean, for me, in my mind, it's getting it out there, getting it in the most hands that I can possibly get in and start seeing that impact and change happen as quickly as possible.
So if we have a businessman or a businesswoman listening, what's the best way to contact you to see if there's a relationship that could start?
Well, as much as I'd like to give out my personal email right now, I'm probably not going to do that. So if you're on Twitter, just hit me up on Twitter. That's at Sean A. Thom. And that's probably the best way to get in touch with me, and then we can share more personal contact information from there.
Sounds good. Sean, what's a book every principal should read right now and why?
I love this question. I love some of the things that I've been hearing from the guests on the podcast. I'm probably going to take this a little bit of a different direction.
Yeah.
A lot of the books that I'm kind of hearing suggested here are leadership books. But right. The book that I really want to suggest is called Smart But Stuck, Emotions in Teens and Adults with ADHD. And it's written by Dr. Thomas E. Brown. As someone that's kind of struggled with ADHD my entire life, and especially when in regards to emotional regulation and that kind of thing, this book changed my life. I saw Dr. Brown speak at the 30th Learning Differences Conference in Boston last year. And, you know, just hearing him speak for an hour was enough to just make me buy that book.
Awesome.
As a kid, as an adult, I've sometimes been able, really very quick to respond to situations with frustration, with anger, and I never really understood why. I'm a very easygoing, laid-back kind of guy. And this book really helped explain to me what happens physically in my body, as well as what's going on in my brain, and really understand what's happening and how I can deal with that. And it's made me much more aware of when I may start to feel that way and how I can kind of react and better function that way. So, I mean, I think this book is essential for anybody that works with kids in any capacity, or whoever's experienced any sort of emotions that they really can't explain, whether it's in themselves or whether it's with students or their own children or spouse, whatever the case may be. I recommend it to everybody. It absolutely changed my life.
Mm. That's powerful. Thank you for sharing that. Smart but stuck. What was the author's name again?
Dr. Thomas E. Brown.
Okay. We'll link that up in the show notes as well.
Perfect.
So, Sean, besides elite Spartan races, besides allowing your son to watch Paw Patrol instead of the NFL playoffs, what do you do for fun?
It's all about family. It's all about family time for me. I mean, I absolutely love being with my wife, my son, our dogs. I mean, try to spend as much time as I can with them. It's the best part of my life, is spending time with my family, watching my son grow, develop, watching the little things he's kind of picking up here and there. So, I mean, for me, being able to do that, it's something that, I mean, I can't even put into words how awesome that is for me.
What's something new that he's doing recently that has you tickled?
Well, he started this thing where, actually, we started eating dinner at the dinner table. So now he likes to smash his fork into the table. And he thinks that's the funniest thing in the world. So I'll pick him up and I'll say, "Landon, look at me." And he'll turn his head away from me and just start laughing at me. And I mean, you know, it's just those little funny things that 2-year-olds do. I mean, and you're just like, where did he pick this up from? It was not from me. It's not from my wife.
Yeah.
It's not from anybody. But here he is just doing it. You just see this personality grow and develop. I mean, it's pretty awesome.
I'm not saying it's Paw Patrol, but maybe he's getting it there.
I typically watch Paw Patrol with him, but I'll have to keep a better eye on those subliminal messages.
Believe me, you want to give it a double check.
But I mean, you know, besides family time, you know, working out typically 5 to 6 days a week. If I'm not that active, the ADHD kicks in and functioning for me kind of becomes a struggle. It really helps as a centering tool for me. I love being outdoors, walking our dogs, mountain biking with some of my friends, going for long runs. I like doing the Spartan races. So a lot of my training's around those. I'm actually prepping to run my second elite Spartan this April.
Awesome.
It's going to be the Spartan Beast in New Jersey. And that's anywhere from, last year was a half marathon in the mountains with obstacles. So we'll see if it's going to be quite that length this year. They never really tell you, and they never tell you the obstacles. It's kind of all a surprise, but we'll see how that is and how that kind of goes. But that's, you know, that's kind of me in a nutshell.
Spartan Beast, that's April. Do you know the date?
April 30th.
30th. Cool. That's good, man. Do you have a historical figure, either past or a famous person present, that you'd love to meet?
Now, I do, and this is probably going to raise some eyebrows, but you know, I think the person I'd really love to meet and sit down and kind of talk with is Tupac okay. Shakur for me. You know, I mean, I know a lot of his music, maybe a little bit more on the violent side. There's a lot of disrespect on some of the songs, but I mean, he was a really inspirational figure to a lot of people. I mean, him being killed at the age of 25, I mean, he was a really young guy at that point. And when you think about some of the things that he was doing and listening to that music growing up, I mean, he was a voice for the masses. He had an enormous platform. He spoke a lot about social injustices and racial inequalities. I mean, he was kind of the voice of a movement that was really just starting to gain some traction. I mean, I think of where I was at 25, and I was a mess. I had just gotten married. I mean, you know, I was nowhere near complete. I had so much growing to do. So it really kind of makes me wonder what he would have been able to accomplish and some of the things, the change that he would have been able to bring about if he had more time on this planet. I would love to just kind of sit down and pick his brain. And I mean, just kind of somebody that I kind of looked up to a little bit while growing up.
Yeah. You hit me scared there for a second when you said it might raise eyebrows, and I'm like, okay, please don't be these people. But no, Tupac's a perfect choice. And that was a wonderful lesson I used to teach in high school. Cause even today's kids really hold him in high esteem, and it's amazing the influence that he still has and the influence he had at such a young age. You're absolutely right. You know, he was robbed way too early, and to tell you the truth, I'm just learning how to grow up this year, and I'll be 38 in July. So
it's a tough thing. It takes a little bit of time.
Yeah, absolutely. Sean, is there a tech resource that you leverage at work to help you be more effective?
There are two that I really use. The first that I use, it's a Google Chrome extension. It's called Momentum.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's it really kind of helps me daily to just focus. So what it does is it gives you the opportunity to put like a daily focus. So today I'm going to be in the classrooms or observe as many lessons as I can. And then you can also put together a to-do list. The cool thing about it, they have a different image from somewhere in the world every single day. And it's this beautiful image. It's very inspirational. They throw an inspirational quote at the bottom too. So it's really kind of everything you need to truly get your day going and in the right track.
And they personalize it. They include your name in there too, yes. Sean. So
it's fantastic.
Such a little thing, but like, man, it means a lot when it says, Daniel, you're going to accomplish this today, right?
Yeah. And then you get to check those boxes off and see them crossed off there. And you're like, all right, I got something done today.
So cool. Hey, you're building a school from the ground up, Sean. You're not limited by budget. Your only limitation is your imagination. How would you create this school if you're given a blank slate and unlimited resources? What would be your top three priorities building this school?
All right. So I've heard a lot of these questions and my answers might be a little bit more out there than most, but
yes.
You know, I think I got a good handle on things. So I think first my school would have really strong academic and therapeutic approach. I would actually give every student and every staff member in the building the opportunity to have weekly therapy sessions with a counselor, regardless of their background, regardless of their history. I mean, I think it's really important to recognize that in life, we all experience events that are difficult to handle and are very unique to us. I mean, whether it's a kid who doesn't have enough food on the table, who has issues with abusive parents or parents who struggle with addiction, or whether it's your upper to middle class student who's struggling with self-image or trying to get the best test scores, there's always something. And I think we need to give people really the opportunity to speak more about our struggles and to learn and grow from them. I think that's really missing from our schools. We're so focused on just the academics. We're not focused anywhere near enough on that therapeutic aspect. So that would probably be the first thing I would work to change right off the bat.
That's so good. You know, and I resonate with that a lot. I see a therapist once a month. My wife has been teaming up with a therapist and bringing one in at the school that she works at. And it's just amazing, you know, what could be accomplished and just the need, you know. And I just want to personally challenge all the listeners, all the leaders in schools, find the time, find the money. You know, there's plenty of people I'm sure that could refer to you a great therapist, but your own emotional health, like that has to be number one, you know, emotional health, your physical health. If you don't get those things straight before you get into your school, it starts to unwind, you know? So you owe it to your staff, you owe it to the students, you owe it to the community to take care of yourself in that way.
Without a doubt, the only way we can grow is by really talking about it and really kind of figuring out how we can move forward from things. Life's not easy. It's always easy when you have somebody else there with you.
Yeah, yeah. I think, did I cut you off? Were there any other things that you would add to that?
Yeah, Eva. Well, not for that thing, but I do have, you know, my other two. So
yeah.
My second thing is I really want to provide students with real choice regarding their educational path. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I know in schools we have to have our core classes. I got that. That's a necessity. But I really want to create classes that dive deeper in the arts, the sciences, social issues, history, whatever math area students may be interested in, or really whatever may interest them in general at all. I think it's our job as educators to really help students figure out what their passions are and allow them to grow and develop accordingly. My wife's been home sick the past few days from work, and she's been watching Project Runway Junior.
Okay.
Now, we watch Project Runway religiously. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I love what they do. But Project Runway Junior, they take teenage kids. You're looking at kids from like 13 to 16 years old, and they have these kids designing clothes. And the garments that they're making, it's remarkable. I mean, but at somewhere along the lines, these teenage kids have had somebody really supporting and really backing up what they want to do and what their life path is going to be. And I think we need to do that more. I think we need to focus more on how we're going to implement that in schools and how we're going to allow kids to figure all that out. So that would be a huge thing for my school.
Hey, and before you move on to your third point, I just want to be transparent with the audience as well. So, all right, your thing is Project Runway. Okay. I love, and I'm not ashamed to admit, I love Justin Bieber and I love Taylor Swift, and they have many, many haters out there. And you all, if you're a hater, you're wrong. They make beautiful music. They inspire, they make the world go round, and I'm going to admit right now, publicly in front of the world, Justin Bieber, you're my man, Taylor Swift, you're my girl, love you both, guys.
It's all about that transparency, brother.
That's right. What would your third priority be, Sean?
One of the things that I've noticed more than anything is that we need much more physical activity for kids. Yep. I mean, no matter what the age level is. So I would want to put daily gym, daily recess in for students of all ages. I think we need to give them that opportunity to play and be active. That's one of the things we have in my school. My students get gym every single day of the week, and they also have built-in structured recess every single day as well after lunch. Mm. My students need that extra activity, but I think all students do. And especially when we look at where we are as a nation, how we're fighting obesity, especially with our youth, I think we really need to work to teach kids what it's like to be active, what it's like to be healthy, and really put those good habits in them at a young age. They can continue that as they grow up. Not to mention, it's a fantastic opportunity for them to socialize more outside of the classroom and to really work on those skills as well. So, I mean, it's a win-win across the board there.
So, Sean, you made it. Thank you so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. I know you mentioned in terms of getting a hold of you at Sean A. Thom in terms of Twitter, but do you have any parting words of advice for the listeners?
I think my biggest advice for everybody would be to stop asking why. It's a word. Get it out of your vocabulary. Stop using it. Really figure out what's really going on with the people you work with, whether it's your students, whether it's your staff, whether it's your children at home or your spouse. Stop asking why. Figure out what's really going on with people. Take that time, invest that energy and time and really figure out what people need. I think that's the most important thing we can do as leaders, as educators, as people in general.
Better Leaders, thank you for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember that life is 10% of what happens to you, 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast was brought to you by Daniel and Sean. Be better starting today by heading over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type Sean in the search bar. The show notes page will pop up where you'll get the highlights of today's episode, links to all the resources, and the best way to connect. On most mobile phones, you could tap on the cover art and the show notes page will magically appear. Sean, thank you for sharing your leadership insights and helping the better leaders be better.
My pleasure, Daniel.
Hey, better leaders. Thank you for joining us on the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Visit us at betterleadersbetterschools.com, a blog and podcast made specifically for you to help you meet your leadership potential. Do you want to be awesome? I know you do. Please leave a 5-star rating and review for us. Click the podcast artwork and long press the show some love link. That'll bring up a page where you can leave a review. This helps the show stay relevant in iTunes and reach a wider audience that wants to become a better leader. If you'd like to connect with me, and I would love to connect with you, there are also links in the show notes. The blog and podcast has an audience in over 100 countries. Connect with me via email, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, or the website betterleadersbetterschools.com.